Welcome back to the Rewind That Tape podcast for another week update. I'm Jay Prubbs.
I'm Dr. Cash.
And today, you know, we're going back looking at the week and starting off in the world of football. Neymar Jr. to Al Hilal, taking all the highlights, all the news action. I mean, this is a massive move for not only for Neymar, but for the entire Saudi league. He's taking a massive salary, $300 million per year from the Saudi Pro League, with options, incentives to make it up to $400 million. He receives like a house, fully serviced guests, like fully serviced servants, all that stuff. He also gets like, I think, $500,000 for each social media post he does.
His own private jet.
Exactly. So he's like basically rolling in it now. And it's, I'm pretty sure, 2-year contract deal. And he's stated, I want to go back to Europe before World Cup, before Copa. I don't know about Copa America, but he wants to go back to Europe, get ready for the World Cup in 2026. So it seems like a short-term deal, a little money grab. But, I mean, Cash, what does this say about Neymar? I mean, kind of taking a look back at his career, because after Barca, it kind of didn't work out. Do you see this as kind of a career reset for him? 2 years where he can kind of relax in a Saudi league that is not, it's not Europe.
I don't see it as a reset at all. I think it's the end of his career, because
really,
yeah, I don't know how he can train for the World Cup where he's going to be playing with the world's best players in a league that really doesn't have much talent outside of the four government-owned teams that, as we know, have just been splashing money left and right. Outside of that, I mean, the talent, it's literally some players that have two jobs. So I don't think that this is really a good way to prepare for a World Cup.
But he's 33, right? So he's 33 when his contract runs out at Al Hilal. So if you think about it, he technically is still at like the end of his prime. He still has time to, like, you know, get ready. Like, I mean, in all like sense of thinking, he should be. He's not going to be like Ronaldo. He's not going to be like Messi. He's still going to be a star player in that Brazil team.
Yeah, but I think that, like, at least from my perspective, looking at it, I mean, that Brazil team, they're so talented. They have depth at virtually every position. Maybe they're a little bit thin in their defense or at that number nine. But I feel like there were just so many more options where he could have gone. Most of these players, obviously, they're all going to Saudi for money. But he has enough money from that massive contract in Paris. I mean, you look at it, it's like worth $200 million. I don't know what this much more money was going to do for him. Obviously, I mean, it's a ton of money. Like, nothing will go wrong. But I just feel like there's just so much more opportunity he had. He could have played it in the Premier League. But
Barca was on the table too, right?
Yeah, but I think with their money situation, it was just impossible for that to happen. It's just a pipe dream. And, you know, the way I look at it, that club, I mean, PSG I'm talking about, he was one of the only people that respected that club. He stayed through the ups and downs, made the Champions League final with them back in 2020, stayed after that, after all this messy drama. You know, he didn't have any intentions of leaving until this whole Mbappe thing happened. And Mbappe apparently wanted him out, wanted Dembele to come in, which happened, and wanted Neymar to leave. And it just shows that right now it's just looking like PSG's doing whatever Mbappe asks. And just for me, I don't think, just to answer that question that you asked earlier, it's not the best way to prepare for the World Cup. He could still potentially be a starter, but I don't think he'd be as sharp.
But, like, let me put this, like, so once he is out of his Al Hilal deal in 2025, he still has a year to prepare for the World Cup, if you think about it, a year to go back to Europe, presumably. I don't know. I feel like this is kind of what he needs, in my opinion, because if you look at PSG, that was, like you said, he stayed through the ups and downs, but at the end of the day, it was a dumpster fire experiment. They were like the team that was supposed to win the Champions League, and they just didn't. So if you look at it, those 6-7 years were kind of wasted, in my opinion, of his talent, of his like ability. So I think coming to Saudi, being able to, because like you said, it's not, apart from those big four teams, it's not really a competitive league. So they can, he can kind of reset, heal his body, because I know that's something that he's been really struggling with for the past few years, injuries, getting knocked. So I think this, I don't know, I'm a big Neymar fan. I think this is a solid reset for him, ability to like heal 100%, kind of like get his mindset back in the right place, and get ready for World Cup, hopefully go back to Europe and be like 100% locked in.
But I don't know. Saudi, for me, it's not the place where he gets locked in. It's not the place where his mind gets right. I think that's just the opposite of it, in fact. I think really? That's where your mind, it's straight to relaxing, heading back to whatever mansion, private jet, all mm-hmm. that lifestyle he'll be living there. I don't think that it's optimal for him to, like, have football as his priority. I think there's just going to be so much other, whatever it is. Like just, it's just whatever's in Saudi Arabia, all of that. It's
distractions.
Just be,
distractions.
Yeah, it's what it is. There's so many more distractions with all that money to add on to it, to take his mind away from his job, basically. And to me, it doesn't make much sense for this move. But then at mm-hmm. the same time, you know, when that contract runs up, is Barcelona really going to want a 35-year-old, 34-year-old playing, starting for them on the left wing? He's still going to have that speed, but at that point, won't Rafinha be developed, fully developed? You know, that whole team is still going to be in their mid-20s, with the exception of Lewandowski, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe Barca isn't the move. Maybe he goes to Newcastle, something like that. Maybe a team, maybe Bayern. Maybe team in Italy, but I think him, I don't know. I just feel like this is something that he needs after the PSG. Because, I mean, it wasn't just going PSG, the failures, but it was like all the pressure that was mounted on them as well, especially when Messi came over and he got injured. He wasn't able to perform really, especially with Mbappe there. I think, I don't know, I feel like that power dynamic is something that just was not working. And it's, I guess he just had to get out of there, right? I mean, Messi, Mbappe kicked both him and Messi out. I don't know. I still believe it's the right move for Neymar. I think it's obviously, maybe it was better if he was able to go to maybe a Prem team or something like that. But I think in the situation he is in right now, kind of getting his mind, his body right, I think that's something, if he is really like dedicated and he really wants to get back for the World Cup, I think being in Saudi is something that he can achieve that there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just there's two sides to think about this deal. That's true, and it's really up to him if he's going to come back to Europe or not. It would obviously be great from a viewer's perspective, but mm-hmm. for now, I mean, it just, it doesn't look too great, but you know, anything can happen. Because I mean, we've already seen, I think, that the teenager from Rangers, I forgot his name, something Jota. Anyways, he moved from Rangers to
Celtic.
From Celtic, excuse me, yeah, Celtic to Al Ittihad, and he's already out of there. He's trying to force a move out of Saudi. So
I heard it, both him and Benzema are like.
Yeah, then that experience, it might not be for everyone. Money looks great, but it just, the comfort living there comes first. So who knows what could happen with Neymar, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but moving on to big transfer, big trade news. We're moving on to the NFL, where the Arizona Cardinals officially calling it tank season, trading away former first round pick Isaiah Simmons to the New York Giants for a 7th round pick, as well as offensive tackle Josh Jones to the Texans for a 5th rounder. So those guys, Isaiah Simmons, obviously you invested a first round, top 10, I'm pretty sure, picking him.
Yeah, number 8.
Yeah, and then Josh Jones, he's your starting offensive tackle. He started 11 games for them. And you just trade both of those guys. So it's, I mean, in my opinion, that's 100% a signal for a tank. Dr. Cash, what are you kind of seeing as the plan, I guess, for the Cardinals moving forward?
I mean, it was interesting for me. I saw that Simmons trade, and it just looked terrible, for obviously from Arizona's perspective. I wasn't sure what they're doing. Then I looked up, I looked up some Isaiah Simmons film today, and I'm not gonna say that the Cardinals won this trade, but I kind of see the reason why he was traded. Although they could have gone for way more than a 7th rounder. I mean, they tried playing him at linebacker, didn't work. Wanted him at safety, hasn't looked great at all in the preseason, but he still has a lot of potential in my opinion. So I think it's terrible business done by the Cardinals, but you know, he didn't look like a top 10 pick while he was there.
Yeah, and I think that can be partially said to probably the scheme that he was put into. But I think he's one of those players that you look at, and he is the intangibles. I remember watching him coming out of Clemson. I mean, the Derwin James comps were 100% effect. I think being in a Giants defense, that's, in my opinion, top 5 defense in the league, one of the better units, I think that allows him to strive in that hybrid linebacker DB role, where he has one of the strongest defensive fronts in the league, as well as a pretty good secondary. I think he should be able to fit into that little linebacker gap. I think with his athleticism and physicality, I mean, obviously that's what the Giants are betting on, bringing him in, having him work in their system. But I don't know. I feel like you said, the Cardinals could have gotten a lot more for him, because he's still pretty young, and he could just, I think he still could be special.
Yeah, like I said, he has a ton of potential. Excellent business done by the Giants. He really just gave up a 7th rounder, which is pretty much nothing in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Cardinals are doing. I mean, it's been looking like a rebuild, but and while Simmons was on an expiring contract, I feel like the value for him, there's just, he could have gotten maybe 4th or 5th, in my opinion. I mean, this dude was a top 10 pick. And yeah, if he plays like that with New York, it's going to look really bad on the Giants end. But I don't know. I think that Coach Bidwell, Coach Jonathan Gannon there in Arizona, he's making a statement. Like, from that film in the preseason, Isaiah Simmons just looked like he lacked a lot of effort, intensity. He kind of just missed a lot of tackles, and he played like it didn't matter, and that Coach Gannon wasn't having any of that, and he's gone. So it'll be interesting to see how Arizona tries to fill that void. Obviously you have a ton of veterans on that team, but for me, at the end of the day, it was a terrible deal from them.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's, in my opinion, it's a pretty terrible deal as well. I think maybe you could have got more, especially for a 25-year-old semi-Derwin James type player. But it is what it is, right? If you're Arizona, you're kind of looking for that culture reset after Cliff Kingsbury. And some of these guys who, I mean, Isaiah Simmons is one of those guys that you get drafted into this Cliff Kingsbury era of, and at least what the reports have been, like, zero accountability, zero, like, zero anything, zero, like, teamwork. And now you're going into this era of Jonathan Gannon, who's bringing over that Philadelphia Eagles mindset. I mean, maybe he's not used to that yet. But he's going to New York, and so I'm really excited for him. I was really high on him in the draft. But moving on to some other potential big trades in the NFL. I mean, the big one that I feel like is yet to go down, Jonathan Taylor. I feel like we've been talking about this guy for, I don't know how long.
Quite some
time, yeah. But he's reportedly, the Miami Dolphins have put in a trade offer to the Colts, but it's been denied. It's been rejected. No details about the trade, but it is rumored that the Dolphins are still in contact. They're still trying to get this deal done. And if you look at this Dolphins team, I mean, adding Jonathan Taylor on top of that, I don't know. I feel like that's super team-esque right there.
Oh yeah, I mean they basically have every whole field. I feel like right now they have depth at running back, but it's adding Jonathan Taylor. They don't have a star.
They don't have a star. Exactly. So, what I was gonna say.
I feel like that adding him to this mix just completely relieves a lot of pressure off of Tua, number one, which is the most important thing. And number two, just gives this offense really like a fourth option. I'm not putting that in order, but I mean, you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, Drew's, obviously, I mean, you're not going to look at the tight end that much, but they have three really solid wide receivers, and adding Jonathan Taylor here just makes them that much better.
Yeah, I agree. I think for a team that has such great receivers, adding that running back element, that star, because I mean, last year Jonathan Taylor was the best running back in the league. So adding an element like that to your team, the ability to pound the ball, because that's what he does, just makes it so much more dangerous, especially for a Dolphins team that, I mean, you have Teron Armstead, you have a solid O-line. So adding in that run mix, I mean, with the mind of Mike McDaniels, who is, people as they're touting him, one of the best offensive minds in the league, just giving him another weapon to use, that's what the Dolphins are doing. And they're making, I feel like they're just making splash after splash after splash after splash. And we'll see how it works, because last year it did not work out that well. But now you bring in Jalen Ramsey, who is going to be out for a few weeks, but he's still going to be there. Jalen Ramsey, Xavien Howard, all these guys, I think, the time's now, right? The time's now. So might as well swing for the fences.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the trade market, especially for Taylor, who wants out, it's just been crazy. Like, teams have been getting stars for dirt cheap because of how bad their contracts are. And yeah. Miami's done some pretty good business here. So we'll see how they end up working this out, because like you said, they have one offer that's been rejected, but the two teams are going to keep on negotiating.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that a trade like that would make the AFC East so much fun to watch. I mean, it already is, but like, just going, I mean, quick little preview right here. I mean, you have the Buffalo Bills, right? Josh Allen, that super, super explosive offense and super stingy defense. This Miami Dolphins team who we have just been talking about. Patriots, you have Bill Belichick, obviously, Mac Jones. They're always going to be there. Sneaky good defense, especially with Christian Gonzalez. And then New York Giants, Aaron Rodgers, you already know. Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. So, Cash, is that the best conference in the league right now? I mean, even without Jonathan Taylor, is that the best conference in the league?
I would say they're up there for one of the best divisions in the league, but I'd have to say that have to go with the AFC West with Kansas City, LA, the
Chargers,
Vegas, and Denver. I think they are all solid teams. They just have more depth, and the Chiefs are just that good. So I'd have to go with them. But overall, I feel like if the AFC gets Taylor, then they'll be pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, look, that AFC entirely looks so scary with just I'm just like scrolling through the standings right now, and like each and every one of these teams, like you go from Bills, Dolphins, Chiefs, Chargers, Ravens, Bengals, Texans, Colts, man, Jaguars. That the AFC South is kind of depressing, but I mean, other than that, it looks like that's one of the, I mean, I don't know. That just looks like super fun postseason playoff right there. Already kind of salivating.
Before we get back to the podcast, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our sponsors at Anchor and Spotify Podcast. They make it easy for us to upload and share all of our podcasts to all the Spotify networks. To check them out, go to SpotifyPodcasters.com and sign up today.
All right, next up, we got some real playoff action, though, in the MLB. Starting off with the Shohei Ohtani injury, though. Superstar Angel suffering UCL tear. Reported that he is not going to be pitching anytime soon. Actually, not the entire season. While there's still hope he may be hitting a few games, Dr. Cash, is this kind of the end of the Angels playoff picture, of the playoff hopes for this season?
I think without a doubt it is. I mean, if their playoff hopes are already in the dust, I think that they are even more now. Just this team is an inconsistent. They have two of the best players in the league, if not the two best players, and they're still this bad. And with the resurgence of the Mariners post All-Star break, I mean, Julio Rodriguez finally finding his form again. I just feel like, without a doubt, Angels will finish fourth in the AL West yet again. And either the Rangers, Astros will win it, and Mariners could potentially sneak in to a playoff spot.
Yeah, for sure. I think moving on to the MLB playoff picture, it's just wild at this point. The only two teams that I think are sitting pretty right now, Dodgers and the Braves, sitting top of their division so far. But elsewhere, it looks like absolute carnage. Staying in the National League, we have Giants, the Cubs, Diamondbacks, Reds, Marlins, all teams fighting for that wild card. Cubs staying super hot. I mean, they look good. Giants look good. I mean, it's getting really, I mean, it's super tight, both divisions. I think it's just getting really, I mean, it's getting back down to crunch time.
Yeah, I think, obviously, like you said, it is crunch time, and it's always, every year, there's always those teams. I feel like this year, for me, I've just been looking at the Reds and the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. Both of those teams, mm-hmm. they were on a heater early on. Obviously, the Reds with Ellie De La Cruz kind of putting them on the map. They've slowed down, cooled off post-All-Star break, and surprisingly, the Brewers have taken control of that NL Central division. Cubs have been on fire lately. They're coming back up. They're in second place. So for me right now, I've been paying attention to those two teams outside of my Rangers all year. And it's just been crazy just to see what that All-Star break did to them. Because really,
yeah,
the Diamondbacks were on top of that division. They were on top of that NL West. And at one point, they had a losing record. Yeah, at one point, they had a losing record after being top of that division. And now they've won eight of their last 10. And they're back in that playoff picture with a 66 mm-hmm. and 61 record. For me, it's just been that their bats haven't been as hot, but this recent series against the Rangers, which I've watched, they've been able to come up clutch. Obviously, with that 11 inning thriller that they won, they've started to pick it back up with leading off with Ketel Marte. I think he's been pretty good lately. Jace Peterson, who for me, in the beginning of the year, I'd say he's inconsistent, but now he's been able to get on base. I feel like with the exception of these last few games, he's been able to get on base post All-Star break more consistently. So I feel like having more strength in those that leadoff spot, and then the 2-3, having those bats starting off strong for them gives the Diamondbacks a lot of momentum.
Yeah, for sure. I think each of these teams, I mean, when you're in the hunt for the wild card, one, two games, a series could change it like that. If you can sweep a series, something like that, it all changes. Moving on to the American League for a quick second. We got, Rays in the first spot right now. I think they're, six games? I think six games ahead. But Seattle, Houston, Toronto, all three of those teams battling for that final two spots. Like you said, Seattle heating up, Julio Rodriguez heating up. They've passed the Angels. They're now sitting, like, I think one game behind the Astros, who, I mean, they've been playing well after the Verlander trade, but I mean, you can't be losing 17-1 to the Boston Red Sox. And with Alvarez out again, I think for a little bit, I mean, it's just been the injury bug for this team. And if they can't get healthy in time for the postseason, it's going to be an entirely different picture than last year. But yeah, Cash, who are your, I guess, teams to look out for in the MLB, in the American League this year?
For the AO, I mean, I feel like when the Rangers get hot, they're the best team in the league. I said it like that. Oh, yeah? I said it, and I feel like, but that's the problem. Their bats have cooled off. Pitching hasn't been great. They've let up a lot of runs in late innings, and they're striking out way too easily. But, I mean, other than them in the AL, Astros are always there to look out for. Orioles, obviously. I mean, they've been going nuts this year. That AL Central division is just ugly to me. I don't even want to look at the Twins as a legitimate playoff threat because they're just not good. But if I really had to zone in on one team, it'd be Tampa. You know, they've fallen off a little bit just because Orioles have been going way past people's expectations. But that team has some of the best pitching and some of the best batters in the league. And when it comes down to playoff time, Troptober, I feel like Tampa turns up and they're going to be a team that's flying under the radar right now, and they'll continue to fly under the radar.
Yes, sir. It's all about who turns up in October. Once you get that spot, World Series, or Wild Card, Divisional, whatever it may be, as long as you turn up, I mean, that's all that matters. You can, I mean, we've seen it before. I think the Astros in 2017, as much as you like to bang the trash cans, they were wild card teams. Or no, they weren't a wild card team, but they played kind of not the best. But yeah, I think anything can happen, especially this year, where I think teams have been closer than ever. But yeah, that wraps it up for our MLB section of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to our new format, weekday updates. Each Thursday, each Monday, you can find us on RTT podcast, wherever you guys get podcasts. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to check out our YouTube, all our socials, and our website at rewindthattape.com. And peace. See y'all soon.